And we're back on the rule of three. Two comics, three topics, 10 minutes each. The perfect podcast for your modern lifestyle. Later in the show, Bent Washburn
Hello.
On the other side. And I will be talking about a new scientific study that is going to upset a lot of conventional wisdom. We're also going to be talking about a memo that created a little bit of havoc last week.
Yeah.
Of course, by the time I get this up, it might have been 2 weeks ago.
So. Yeah. But it's still the havoc will be there.
Yeah, there will still be havoc. But the first topic that we're going to talk about, and we had picked this topic a couple days ago, and so it seems to actually already be dated, but we're going to hit it anyway, is the stock market crash.
Yeah.
Is that apparently there was a lot of panic, and the adage that if you're going to jump off a building when your stocks tank, you should wait a little.
Yeah.
Is that an adage?
Yeah, give it a couple days. Wait, I mean, get a good spot. You want to go up there and get a good spot, but give it some time because it went down and came right back.
I know that's the mythology that occurred in 1929.
Yeah.
I just thought of a sick joke that I'm not even going to bring up. But that it was common that it was common that people were doing that all over New York City. And but I don't know how common it was, how many people.
I think that's where they got the song "It's Raining Men." Originally, it's raining men. Hallelujah! Right. I don't know. That's dumb. I guess it's sick. I think it was pretty common. There was a – I mean, that was such a huge and sudden crash.
Right.
But this it followed a week. How long – for that 1 week, it was almost 666 points down last week. And then what was it? Monday, it dropped 1,100 points, did it?
Yeah. So like 2,000 points, which in 1929 was probably triple the Dow Jones for that day.
Yeah.
So it actually would have gone into negative territory.
Yeah.
People in 1929 would have been paying you to take their stocks away from it.
They would have done what they did. They would have jumped off buildings and. It seems like it was. Is it down? You know what? I think it was down a total of 1,100 points. I am wrong. It was 666 plus 5 something. So it got down 1,100.
Okay. Well, so. I think it was more than that though. I think it was close at one point. It was close to 1,600 in the middle of Monday. And of course as things happen, there's a lot of people that have been holding money on the side saying, this market cannot keep going up.
Yeah.
And so a lot of people are just holding their money waiting for the crash,
yeah,
because they want to buy, and I think a lot of that went on. I think,
they jumped in. Hopefully too soon. I hope they jumped in too soon because I've got my little tiny pile, the kind of pile you'd expect a comic you've never heard of to have. That's how big my. I don't know if I'd call it a pile, but it's a little bit of money, and I'm waiting
I got a nice share of Apple. that I've been looking at for a while, that I'm waiting for that share of Apple to come down into my range so I can drive it home.
You can get a piece of the Apple. Yeah, I'm thinking of that. I'm waiting for that big crash, but it didn't happen. Of course, then my wife is on the other end. She's had a full life of work and savings, and so my little gain would be offset by her huge loss. You know what I mean? So
she's got it in a four. Is it in a? It's not a pension. She's got like a 401k, or she's got an IRA.
She's got some IRAs and mutual funds and all that kind of stuff. So she's been saving wisely for years.
So the drop did not. Is there? Does she have any ability to move stuff, or is it all? Is it all like in mutual funds so that it's.
Neither of us have any idea. We don't know what we're doing with any of this stuff. So we're a lot like most of the people. I think most of us don't really know, but I do know that once you reach a certain age, you have to move some of it out of these more volatile stocks and into bonds and so forth, so that you protect your retirement funds from, you know, a crash. I get that, but
It's there's a growth portfolio that you'd want, and a retirement portfolio where it's going to be income based, and we're getting really close to another boring day.
No, we're well in there. This is what I think isn't boring. I don't know. All during the Obama years, I would constantly hear Democrats give him credit for that growth, which always struck me as insane. And now, this, and then Trump started taking credit for it. And I knew Democrats were wishing they hadn't been doing that with Obama. We talked about this last week. And now the market crashes. And is this his fault? You know what I think? This is what I think, Tim. If somehow we launch into just crazy inflation, hyperinflation, I think Donald Trump's face should be on America's first $10,000 bill. He should have the honor of being on, you know, so my kid pays for, I don't know, some flour and beans with a $10,000 bill.
Yeah, it's actually, and I think that note should be called the Zimbabwe. Just because I like saying Zimbabwe.
It is nice. And the Venezuelan. Maybe we should just put Chavez on it. Just to Hugo Chavez. Maybe that kind of a face on there.
The stock, to me, it's a lot like, to me, it's very similar to global warming. Is that when it's, you know, when it's a hot day, everyone is, oh my gosh, it's global warming, it's climate change, look what we've done to the planet. Yeah. But then when you get like a really cold day, and then everyone goes, oh, so is this global warming too? Yeah. Then all of a sudden it's like, you're just an idiot. Don't you know the difference between climate and weather?
Yeah.
Well, apparently climate is hot and weather is cold.
Yeah. You're right. Now, first of all, you do see a lot of – I've noticed you find a lot of things in common with global warming. But you're right. I think you're absolutely right. There's a logic thing here. It's convenient. Like, they make the convenient association
that
serves them with the market.
Right. I knew there were a lot of trumpeters that were all the way through. It's, oh, my gosh, look at the stocks. Look at how the stock market's going up. It's all Donald Trump. And in one instance, I think it is true, because I think if Hillary had been elected, it might have gone the other way.
Maybe so. But then it bounces back the other way, too. You know, I mean, it just goes up and down and up, and it has these little bumps and weird psychological whatevers. I don't know. I know.
Yeah, you know, it's kind of like and I've said this before. Is that one of the big thing people like to say is, "Oh, death always comes in threes." That's you hear this all the time. It's, "Oh, there's somebody just died. Who's going to die next?" You know, who's, and it always comes in threes. And my opinion is, no. People die all the time.
Yeah.
We just like to count in threes.
Yeah, your brain puts it into threes. We see patterns. Absolutely.
Yeah.
I mean, people do. We die all the time. Not fast enough, probably. But we die.
Some people. Yeah. I would certainly agree that there are dying fast enough.
Just as a whole, we're out producing. Our death rate isn't fast enough for our reproduction rate, is what I'm saying. We have a sickly death rate. It's not
actually.
I heard yesterday
that it's actually reversed.
What?
It is to the point where the replacement rate is below the death rate.
At least
uncomfortably so. Hmm. And I think it's only in the United States.
Oh well, I knew that about the U.S., but globally. No,
in Europe too.
Oh no, Europe's had a negative growth. They've had the opposite problem. They don't reproduce fast enough. Same with Japan and some of these countries. But globally, overall,
Which is good news. Which is good news for Europe because if they have negative growth rate for a while, their bathrooms per capita might actually start to approach the United States in about 20 years.
Where to pee? But you won't have anybody young to help you get onto the toilet. That's the thing. You need young people to service and help older people. That's what I've heard. You know what I mean? No one's going to be able to drive and build stuff and run an economy.
Well, Google's taking care of that, fortunately.
Oh, thank goodness for the robots.
And thank goodness for the end of the segment.
Oh, yeah.
And we're back on the Rule of Three. We are going to be talking about a controversial scientific study. I don't know if it's controversial, but I think it has all the potential of being controversial. We're going to be doing that in the final segment. But in this segment, we are going to be talking about the memo that was just released.
The memo was released. It's out.
Yeah. Release the memo, as you were saying. Yeah, yes, it is. It was questionable about whether the House would release it. They did. The president sat on it through the State of the Union address.
And, literally, was it under his butt the whole time?
It could have been. Could have been. Yeah. They start saying, "If I start bombing, this is like my I knew a comic that had a sock puppet." He kept a sock puppet in his little bag of cassettes, I think, that he used to sell after the show. That's how long ago this was. Yeah, and in his little bag of or whatever he sold, T-shirts, he had a sock puppet. And if he started bombing, he would pull out the sock puppet.
So this was like Trump's. It could have been his sock puppet. Like if the State of the Union, if they just weren't standing and clapping enough, he could have pulled out the sock puppet. Yeah, done the memo. He saved it for later. His State of the Union was fine, but the memo. The memo. What's in it? Do you even know? I mean,
I've read it. I've read it. It's four pages. It's an easy read. Is that basically it says that the dossier? Are you familiar with what the dossier is?
Yeah, the dossier. I even know how to spell it. That's how familiar
I am with it.
Dossier
sounds like a weird breed of dog that nobody.
It really does. Someone should work on that.
He's so cute. What is he? Oh, he's a dossier.
Yeah. So yeah, it does. It sounds like it'd be hypoallergenic and everything. The dossier.
Yeah. It's an emotional support dog. It's a dossier. Oh, they're great. They're great with kids, and they're good watchdogs. They hear a lot. They have good hearing.
And they write it down.
The dossier dog.
They bring it right to the White House. They hand it to you. Surpassing regular kind of thing. This is for you.
So it revealed essentially two things: is that the person who prepared the dossier hated Donald Trump.
Yeah,
could not stand Donald Trump.
Who was that guy? Who was it?
That's Christopher Steele. He's a British spy. Yeah. So I guess you would say that he loathed Donald Trump.
He hated Donald Trump. Well, he's not alone. There's a lot of that.
Yep, sure. Yeah. Sure. And he prepared this dossier, and it was the famous one where apparently Donald Trump once paid Russian professionals to micturate on his hotel bed.
To micturate just on his bed?
According to the dossier, I believe that he said the Obamas slept here once because he was in the presidential suite of a hotel that he knew they had stayed. He goes, the Obamas slept in this bed. I want you to show my displeasure on this bed.
That's ridiculous, really. Or was he just trying to throw off his? Like he wet the bed, and then he was embarrassed about it, so he brought in a couple of professionals to cover up his urine stain with. I'm sorry.
I heard that about Elvis.
Oh, really?
Elvis had Elvis had some issues in his final years.
Incontinence.
A little bit of the amount of
seepage?
A bit of both.
So he would just hire someone to follow him.
Well, that's one of his things.
If he wet himself, I'm saying he'd hire someone to follow him, and if he wet himself a little, they could just accidentally spill a beer on his crotch. And they go, "Whoa!"
No, it was actually his bed. It was actually where he slept, and so that was his team. Every morning would roll him off the sheets, take the sheets to a laundromat, wash them, roll them back on the sheets. So that the hotel maid would never know what was happening.
didn't want the word out.
Didn't want the word out that the king just can't take care of business no more.
The king is a bedwetter. They thought it might. Actually, that would probably, by that point in his career, it would have made him more endearing to his fans. They'd say, "Oh, me too." Because at that point in time. So that's the dossier.
That's the dossier. And in my opinion, if the dossier was legitimate, there was no need to put that little footnote in there.
Yeah.
About, you know, if it was legitimate. But anyway, that apparently is that A, that he was loathed Donald Trump, and B, that dossier was how they applied for the warrant.
The FISA.
The FISA warrant to do surveillance on Trump Incorporated. And they did not tell the judge the origin. They misrepresented the dossier to make
of
it appear.
The dossier, they didn't tell the judge. This is from Carter, Mr. Steele. And it was to survey Carter Page.
Hillary bought this, is basically
what
they did
it.
Not
she
say.
She bought it from a originally, wasn't the dossier hired out? Republicans hired that out to begin with.
Not from Christopher Steele. Apparently, no.
He came on later.
Yeah, it was the Republicans. The Republicans went to Fusion GPS and said, "We need some dirt on Trump."
Yeah.
And then so they started compiling the dossier.
Yeah.
And then Hillary said, when the Republicans said, "No, we don't want this anymore." Then her campaign went to Fusion GPS. So you started something. Can you finish it?
And then she brought on Christopher Steele. But of course she's going to bring on someone that loathes Trump. I mean, she's a, you know, that's
right, right.
That
that's
happen.
Not the that's not the problem.
No,
that's
the problem
opposition
is that
research.
It's used to establish a FISA. And this is what I've read, and this is what some of the FBI are saying. No. They're saying this is an incomplete memo. That was just one thing in a whole bunch of things that we were, you know, that we
well,
and that Carter
funny
Page
you,
had been surveyed, had been under surveillance for quite some time.
It's funny you should mention that, because according to the memo, it also says that the corroboration that they presented to the FISA court was a Yahoo News article.
Oh yeah,
that was based on an Isikoff interview with Christopher Steele.
Yeah.
And that was the corroborating evidence was somebody else talking to Christopher Steele.
But the FBI is saying that this memo that we have is completely incomplete. It's not complete. They're saying it's missing a lot of – that's where I start with it. Well, then I want to see – that's the problem with releasing just this memo. If it's not everything, then it's able to be extremely slanted.
That's what we need to see. I believe. I'm not really a big fan of a FISA court anyway. It's the idea, you know.
Oh, well,
this is funny. When they started creating FISA courts, I'm saying, you know, having a secret court to spy on U.S. citizens, that might be a power that people might abuse. Oh no, there's safeguards. There's no way that private citizens will be surveilled by the FISA. And here you go.
But it's better than spying on people with nothing, which is what they were doing. I mean, they were like, "We want to spy on them, so we will." So this was like, look, we know you're going to spy.
But then if you get caught, it's like you were spying. You have no right to do that.
And then you can actually
take them to task for it.
Yeah.
Where in this case, it's like, oh, now it's approved.
If Nixon, if this
had been available to Nixon, he wouldn't have had to have broken in. He could have done it legally.
Yeah. Yeah. But the problem with it is that he did it illegally, and that they're going to do it illegally, and And then what do you do? What if, like, for instance, with this whole thing, what if there really were people on that campaign that were trying to get dirt on the opponents from Russians? Well, you see, is the FBI supposed to? Well, we can't look into it. It might ruffle feathers. I mean,
and here's the irony. Here's the ultimate irony of this. Yep. How did they spy on Trump to see if he was trying to get opposition research from the Russians? By getting opposition research from the Russians and presenting it to the FISA court.
Yeah, that's interesting. Yeah, because when it all comes down. Although I think Carter Page had been under surveillance for quite some time. I think anybody in America who does lots of dealings with Russians or Chinese, you're pretty much – there's a file on you. Anybody. Yeah. I mean, they're watching you like a hawk. And I think they should. I think we should watch them like a hawk.
I think we should finish that on another segment.
Yeah.
And on the final segment of the Rule of Three, apparently there has been a scientific study because, you know, for the longest time we've been told that if everybody meditated, that we would have world peace. And apparently Dr. Man. Miguel Farias of Coventry University just did a study, and turns out that that meditation has been, it's not like that at all. It doesn't change how adults behave towards each other.
Yeah, by itself, he's saying, right? He's saying you can't separate it from its original faith tenets and all that other stuff that it came with originally.
Which a lot of people, you know, a lot of people have said, you know, that meditation is just it's another way of prayer. But when you're praying, it's, you know, it's saying, oh, God, I'm sorry I looked at that woman with wrongful intention in my eye. Oh, I'm sorry I stole that pen from the hotel room. Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry, you know, and you're actually trying to be a better person towards the rest of humanity when you're praying. But when you're meditating, all that's been eliminated.
Yeah, a lot of the people I know that meditate do so for a better competitive, like, edge at work. You know, like, I just need to meditate so I can focus more so that I'm in this negotiation with this guy. I don't lose track of what I want. I mean, I don't it's ludicrous that it gets separated from the tenets of the religion. You think it was, everyone's going to be at peace. I bet Hitler had good 20-minute just thinking sessions. Where he just looked at the maps and thought about the plans, and then, you know, yeah, that's ridiculous. I think
I read a book on LSD, and one of the speculations that the book made is that all the Timothy Leary freaks in the 60s said, you know, if everyone took LSD, the world would be a peaceful place.
Yeah. Yeah.
And, you know, and there were plans to take LSD and put it like in reservoirs so that everybody would
genius.
Trip.
Yeah, genius.
And, and they said the people that subscribed to the theories of Timothy Leary did not realize that the CIA agents had been experimenting with LSD for decades before this. And a lot of the torture techniques and the rendition practices that the CIA were using were all developed while they were sitting around tripping.
So it just made them think even broader and bigger. Like, wait, what if we punch him and we have a drill going at the knee, and then why we could do more? What if we get their family and their cousins? Wait, like all that? Oh, man. What this says, right in the article, says, but a certain reality has also set in that it's not a cure-all. I don't know who thought it would be. And it can even have some negative effects for some. And there you go. And I think then one of the negative effects I thought of, we all know someone who really shouldn't think about much. They should You know what I mean? Like, if they sit down and did self-inventory, it's going to lead to self-loathing and regret. Their best thing is to just...
just keep going. Don't dance
with the girl that brung you, which is delusion and self-deception. Now it's way too late to start making... Socrates said, know thyself. Socrates didn't know you, because he would have said, don't look. This is too painful.
Well, it's kind of the way I look at it. It's like everything, you know, the way American takes everything. America took this wonderful agricultural product that had sustained populations for generations, called wheat.
Yeah.
And they looked at that and they said, you know, we should just take the parts of that that people enjoy eating. And they scraped off all the bran, and they pulled off all the vitamins, and came up with white bread. Gluten. And it was, yes, it was. Well, actually, no. Gluten actually is actually one of the last healthy things in white bread. Ironically,
it's the last things that you could actually call food. I used to call it wonder, as in I wonder if this is really bread. The wonder bread.
You know where it gets that name?
I don't.
This is actually interesting, because it was, remember, it came out like in the 20s. Mm-hmm. And before Wonder Bread came out, bread would be like, you'd have to go to the bakery every other day because the bread would grow stale. And it was a wonder that you could buy this bread and 3 weeks later still be able to make sandwiches.
I wonder why this isn't rotten. Okay, I get it. That's wild. Here's another thing. The headline on the article I'm reading on this says, will meditation make you a better person? I don't know. Possibly more annoying. I've known that. You will think you're better. That's the problem. You know what I mean? The sense of superiority that you sometimes...
Yeah, well, Bill Cosby had that great line about, you know, before it's a drink this, it'll do you good. He had that great line about, drugs enhance your personality. And, but what if you're a jerk?
Yeah, exactly.
And it's the same thing. It's, if you're meditating on the wrong thing.
Yeah.
And for me, it's ironic that the New Age people, the same people who would say that you need to go back to the whole wheat, you need to eat the entire wheat berry in order to get its nutritional goodness, are the same ones that are saying, no, you just you don't have to do any of the other things that are connected with meditation. You just have to blank your mind, and just that wonder bread portion of it is going to make you a better person.
I can understand why you wouldn't want all the religious restraints. You know what I mean? You just want the focus and the energy, but you wouldn't want...
Oh, sure.
You know.
Sure. It's for me, America is a lot of what America it makes America interesting is that we've been able to do that with everything. We've taken everything and then found what people like most about it. And before religion came, there are so many varieties of religion available here in the United States. There are so many, you know, back in Europe, they had a one version of Christianity for centuries. And then it came to the United States where the free market ruled. And suddenly we have all these different varieties of Protestantism. And you can pretty much find a religion. Everything that you don't like about religion, you can find one that doesn't do it. Oh, well, the masses are boring. Oh, look at this place that we've just created. They have rock bands and plays and incredible visual light shows that go on during mass. It's
You're right. We experiment with cultures and religions and philosophies. We're definitely pushing
it's a free market.
Yeah.
That's what it is. It's a free market of religion. It's which one is going to be the most profitable. And right now the Catholic Church is having a real hard time. They're the number one. Most, if you look at the people that are in mega churches, most of the people who join mega churches now are ex-Catholics.
Oh, really? So they're jumping ship from the Catholic and then splintering off into all these others. Well, we, you know, the other thing too in the New World, it was a free market, not because they weren't willing to kill you if you were different. It was, there's lots of room to spread out. I can attest to that being Mormon that, well, they fled to Utah, or in the early beginnings, you know, they'd go up north to Massachusetts to start their religious thing that was intolerant of whoever was south and so forth. Whereas in Europe, you weren't going to think different. They just kill you. You know, it just, that's the beauty. That's the beauty, I think.
Yeah, they were killing people for the couple lines that Martin Luther redacted.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. They would, the argument over grace or works, oh, probably a million people died on that argument. Just that little fine-tuned difference. But in America, we will. We'll take out one little section of it, and let's try it. Let's try it over here. Let's try this fusion religion or culture. Yeah.
And what I think happened, the reason why so many Catholics are into the megachurch is that that when I was coming up in high school, they experimented with something called the guitar mass, and it was just a mass, but a couple acne ridden kids would play Cat Stevens songs in between the portions of the mass, and that was enough to get millions of people to bolt to the megachurch.
And they're even leaving the mega churches. A lot of their overall religion, in and of itself, is on the decline. None of them are growing. Huh. Like, they're all on the decline. And part of it is that, like, they put up the guitars, like you say, they put a whole band up there, and they think, well, maybe if we just put a catchy tune with our religion, you know what
I mean? You know what we need? Showgirls.
Yeah.
Suddenly, it's no longer religion at all.
A backup singer, some drums, electric guitar, some lighting, maybe a little smoke machine. And, of course, people are saying, no, you need to stop saying some of the things you're saying. I mean, I honestly believe that's why they're leaving. It's not the music. It's the lyrics. You got to change your lyrics. They're bad lyrics. They're stupid. You got to change them.
And we gotta wrap up this episode. That's all for today. If you like the show, leave us some comments on iTunes. Like our page on Rule of Three page on Facebook. You tell us what you like. Tell us what you don't like. Or if you just want to find more information about myself or Bent, I'm timslagle.com, and
I'm bentwashburn.com. BENGT Washburn. You Google it. I'm the only one.
And other than that, we'll see you next week.